Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
All right, welcome. Happy Wednesday, hump day to everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast, show number 28, getting closer and closer to number 30. We'll have a celebration then. And I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me, as usual, is co-host Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
You made me laugh when you said hump day. I keep picturing the camel. Mike, what day is this? I'm doing great. We hit 70 in Guntersville today, and it was sunny all day. It's just a beautiful day. Great day to be sitting in the waiting room at your doctor's office.
Wow, we topped out at 19.
19.
Hey, but yeah, it was a balmy 19.
Oh, yeah. It's working on your tan. So we're monitoring Twitter. All you people out there, if you want to go over to Twitter and send a message or ask a question of today's guest or, you know, air your political views, whatever, just put hashtag Fresh Ink Group somewhere in the body of the tweet. Doesn't matter where, beginning, middle, end, hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and then we'll see it over here on Twitter and we'll probably read it and share your question with today's guest.
Yeah, or if you want to call in, feel free to pick up the phone and dial 516-453-9902.
That number?
516-453-9902, and we'll put you on the air.
Oh, yeah. Now, when this show is over, we're going to put it in the archives like we have the first 27 episodes. This is episode 28. And every week we've been telling you about the four places we put them. Freshinkgroup.com. There's a tab there called podcasts. Hard to miss. Go click on that and you will find all of the old shows. Plus, you can go to YouTube where we post them, and StephenGies.com and BeamWeeks.com also has the episodes. But we got a little something different now. What is that, Beam?
Here's the real cool thing. Not that those other places aren't cool. We're now on Spotify as well. The entire back catalog of this show, all 30 episodes, or all 28, it'll be 30 coming up here soon. They're all on Spotify. And every week when we do another one, boom, it automatically goes on Spotify. There's another place. If you're having an account with Spotify, go over there and check out each of those episodes and help us boost these ratings.
These archived ones, like at freshinkgroup.com, those take, Beam puts those up after the show, and those take anywhere from a couple hours to, it might be the next morning before he gets it up there, but Spotify, it's there right away. So right after a show is over and you're calling all your friends and saying, oh man, you got to hear today's show, they had Marlena Smith on there, then you go right to Spotify and it'll be there waiting for you. The numbers are going up on our webcast, our podcast here. We're pleased to see them. The replays at the various archive places, those numbers are slowly but surely inching up. And we're getting more and more people saying, hey, I heard about that podcast. When is it? Where is it? How do I find it? So the word is spreading a little bit. The numbers are growing. And we're going to ask you, listeners, to help us spread that word. When you see our tweets or our little promotions, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, places like that, please pass them along and do spread the word.
Yeah. And as Stephen just pointed out, today's guest is Marlena Smith. So, Stephen, you've got the bio. Why don't you tell us a little bit about our guest?
Okay. Now, the unofficial part is we've known Marlena for a while, both of us have, and she's one of our favorite people, so we're thrilled to have her today, and it's my pleasure and honor to read her bio. Marlena Smith was born in a small town of Alabama, where she continues to live today with her little family. When she's not working at the office, she can be found writing, reading, or blogging. Oh, she sounds suspicious, doesn't she? Writing has always been a major part of her life, even since grade school, when she was selected to attend the Young Authors Conference in her state. That's quite an honor. Although her writing has been public through her blog for several years, she has only recently begun publishing. She has several works in progress, including a romance novel, a young adult novella, and several short thrillers.
So with that, welcome to the show, Marlena. We are really glad to have you here.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Yeah. As Stephen pointed out, we've known you for quite a while. In fact, we used to work together at the other place on another show. You were my backup host, and I was your backup host. So you're quite familiar with this whole podcasting thing.
And I remember that interview, too. That was some years ago, but I think that's when I first learned a lot about Marlena. That was a good interview. So a little bit of luck, we'll have another good interview today.
Yeah. Okay, so Marlena, is there anything you'd like to add to your bio there, or did Stephen cover that?
That's pretty much the gist of it. I always tell people I like to think of myself as a creative soul, just because I'm kind of all over the spectrum when it comes to creativity and art and writing and everything.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm not sure if it's still on there, on our bio for the Voice of Indie Twitter account, it even mentions that we, creative souls are some of the people we're trying to reach, writers, musicians, authors, or artists, and creative souls.
Yep, pop culturists, publishers, producers, musicians, you name it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, now,
it's a good category to be in.
Yeah, we're talking about your creativity, but one of the things that has impressed me about you, Marlena, over the years is the opposite of the creativity, that organization. I've always admired how good you are at managing things, you know, putting together things for clubs and handling all of the administrative aspects of stuff. And that's not easy to do. And that's something a whole lot of creative people are just downright bad at. So I always think of that, too, when I hear your name.
Yeah.
So how about
the
your family?
OCD of me definitely plays into that.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you tell us about Will and Kelsey? Tell us about what you called your little family.
Gosh, Will and I have known each other for several years. We've been together as a couple for 5 years, I think.
Oh, you know, that's a good run.
Runs together when you're having fun. And then Kelsey is his little daughter. She is 11 years old.
Oh.
We actually have shared custody with her, so we get her every other weekend. But it's just us three and our little fur babies.
Oh, tell us about the fur babies.
Well, we have a dog, Sophia, a cat named Midnight, and we have four guinea pigs. We have Sparkle and Fuzzy that we've had for about 4 years, I believe. And then I ended up rescuing two little boy guinea pigs, and we ended up naming them Groot and Rocket. And those four guinea pigs are the most spoiled animals.
Guinea pigs are cool. We had one when I was a kid. When I was in high school, my stepmother had one. We had this side yard, and my dad built this big outdoor-type cage. And during the summer, the guinea pig would be outside and just eating grass and doing his thing. And at nighttime, he'd go inside the little house and have a good time with it. Now, you mentioned Will and Kelsey. Are they either one of them writers or creative types?
You know, actually, Kelsey is. She is very creative, which Will and Kelsey both are very artistic. They will just sit down, get out the paint and some easels or paper and, you know, get to work painting some random pictures. But Kelsey really, I laugh a lot of times saying it's like she's my own because of how similar she is to me when it comes to her creativity and stuff. She does love to write and it's funny. She does not like scary stuff, but when she heard about me writing my short story, the scary story. I tried to warn her, give her a little bit of information about it, but she wanted to read it, which surprised me, but that goes to show how much she enjoys that kind of stuff. But they're both creative, but she's definitely almost a mini me.
But well, I, I happen to know that you're into like the scary movies too, so I'm guessing she doesn't watch the scary movies.
No, she doesn't watch. She doesn't like any of that stuff. And I honestly, I'm not ready for her to watch a lot of that, even though I was probably younger than her when I started watching that stuff. I'm so different now. But
scary movies. Scary movies are a lot more intense now than they were just 5-10 years ago too.
That's true.
40 years ago.
There was some intense ones 40 years ago. I mean, The Exorcist, the first time I saw The Exorcist, the first time, that scared the heck out of me. Yeah. The first time.
We all
time.
Thought that was like just ridiculously stupid, and we all laughed at it. They had it made out like it was this horrible thing that was going to scar you for life, and we just threw things at
the
screen.
I didn't hear that, but it was scary.
Now, Marlena, we do a lot of snooping when we're going to have a guest on. We like to go learn about them and look at their pictures and, you know, check their police records and all that kind of stuff.
Of course.
I think I saw pictures of you with Will on Facebook. I don't remember seeing Kelsey. That was with Will that you were with?
I'm assuming.
Your most recent photos? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
We're not
big picture people. We don't do a lot of pictures of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're horrible about that.
Now, is Will also from the Coleman area or Alabama or U.S. or?
No, he actually was born and raised in Arkansas and had moved to Alabama probably, I'm going to say maybe 8 years ago for a job, actually. He was raised in Arkansas, though.
Now, see, for somebody like me who's from technically from Michigan for most of my life, Arkansas to Alabama seems like a lateral move.
So, what part of Arkansas is he from?
You would ask me that.
Well, if you can't remember,
like, small town of Huntsville/Kingston, Arkansas.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. I still got family down there. My grandparents were from Arkansas. Well, my grandmother was born in Mississippi, and my grandfather was born in Missouri, but they grew up in Arkansas.
Oh,
so wow. I still got family down there. I've got cousins and great uncles and great aunts and things like that. They're all getting up there in age, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's getting to be commercial time. So, Marlena, we want to ask you about Coleman and the small town vibe and all that. But first, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsor.
Multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group is now producing audiobooks and videobooks. Publish your book and discover great books by Fresh Ink Group authors, always available in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats, and now expanding into audio and videobooks. Fresh Ink Group. Just wait till you hear what's next.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I got to get in there and play with that music, turn that down just a little bit because it kind of bumps up. At least it does in my headphones. Before we go further, we do have a caller on the line. You guys want to take a call?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, caller. You are on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Are you talking to me, Dr. Burrell?
Yes.
Dr. Helen, we're talking to you. How are you doing?
Listen, I want to hear about the book. Let's buy more books.
Well,
I want to support
we'll get there.
The writers.
We're getting there.
Okay.
So do you have a question or a comment outside of that?
Well, I think it's very interesting to hear the background, but I'd love to hear a bit of like a teasing part of the current thing that's published, just to get a sense of the work.
It sounds
like she's very, very creative, which is wonderful.
Yeah, she is.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in.
You might tell your audience who I am. So I'm one of the authors, and I want to support all the authors.
Yes, this is Dr. Helen Burrell. She wrote book,
the Hippocampus.
American Hippocampus. That's a children's book to learn about the brain. And she also wrote American Agony, which tells you about the
opioid
issue with
crisis.
The opioid crisis and the legal issue where people who truly need pain meds are not able to get them anymore because their doctors are being arrested, and it's just it's a mess out there, and a lot of people are not familiar with that. They just hear opioid epidemic and they think junkies shooting up and drug dealers trying to get drugs from doctors, and that's not what it's about. There's a lot of
The reason I'm here today, Beam and Stephen, is because of that issue. I've been taken away from doing my fiction. That's why I wanted to hear what Marlena did, because I miss my fiction and poetry, having had to write that nonfiction medical piece, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we will,
so
we will jump right
really
into that.
I really
want
to hear about
shortly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Dr. Helen. We appreciate that.
Okay, I'm listening. I enjoy.
Okay, and we'll see you next week, too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
So, Marlena, tell us about Coleman.
Well, this is pretty much all I've ever really known. I've lived here my entire life. I don't know. It's definitely growing, but it still has that small town vibe to it. Coleman is really big about its community and everything. Interesting fact, though, about Coleman is it is well known for its German heritage. And as a matter of fact, the little town I live in that's in Coleman is called Berlin, which comes from Berlin. But German heritage is really big here. We actually have a lot of events like Oktoberfest. They do a lot of craft fairs and festivals all throughout the year. But like I said, it's the biggest thing to me is just it's got that small town vibe to it. Church on every corner. A lot of people know a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like where I live in a very small town outside of the capital city of Michigan. And that's, you know, oh, yeah, there's so-and-so at the grocery store. And well, actually, it's so small, there's not a grocery store. You have to go to the next town over for the grocery store. But, you know, that's all right.
Well, you're forever associated because I live less than an hour from Coleman. And anytime I head anywhere near that direction, anywhere in the direction of I-65, when I see the sign that says Coleman this way, I think, Marlena. Wonder what Marlena's doing right now. So you've been associated, but it is a wonderful little town. It's got some quirky shops, some cool places to eat, a great Italian restaurant. And all three of us had the privilege of being able to go out to eat lunch there one time a few years back, which was very nice.
Yeah, we did.
And that was a good time. We'll have to do that again.
Yep.
Definitely.
We do have another caller if you guys want to take another call.
Cool.
All right. So, hello, caller. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Sheila. I'm calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hi,
Sheila.
I was
just calling to say that I'm a big fan of Marlena and her work. I love The Intruder. And I cannot wait until the next one comes out.
All right.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to talk to you. It's like I'm meeting like an actress or something.
Wow. And your endorsement of The Intruder kind of sounds like a 5-star review in the making, too. Make sure you get over every place you can and post those reviews, too. That helps Marlena a lot.
Definitely. So when's the next one coming?
I don't know.
That's a good answer.
I am working on it. So I've got several different ones in the working. So hopefully I'll have something out in the next maybe month, I'm hoping.
Are they all going to be scary?
I actually do a lot of lovey-dovey stuff. So the scary one kind of surprised me. But I do have a couple of other scary story ideas. So that's definitely going to be more of those too.
Yeah, the romance.
Are they
going to
be based on, like, actual events that have happened or just out of nowhere?
No, just, pretty much out of nowhere. They're very random. I have really, really vivid dreams. Well, I have for the last couple of years. I've had really vivid dreams. So a lot of times I pull my story ideas from those. But for the most part, yeah, they are completely fiction. They come definitely come out of nowhere.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that I'm such a big fan, and I'm just ready for the next one.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling
in, Sheila.
Yeah, thanks
for accepting my call.
Okay.
Now, you did
I want to say something here real quick. When she asked, you know, when's the next one coming out, and you said, I don't know, that's the perfect answer. I'm telling you, because I'm working on a story right now that I had intended on having out by Thanksgiving, and it's nowhere near that. And it's because it's a work in progress. And to put these dates on them, you find yourself rushing, and it cheapens the story when you rush it. And so I just, mm-hmm. when it's done, it's done. And that's when it's going to come out. So that's a great idea to say, I don't know. Simple as that.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
That or could be any day now. Make sure you get over there and check every day. So, Marlena, what kind of jobs have you held over the years? Right now you're with Ruskin Packaging, but you've held some other kinds of positions as well.
Yeah, right now I am at Ruskin. I've been there for about 3.5 years. It's a box manufacturing plant. I do kind of a multi-job, I guess, there. It involves quality, but also customer service, and then, of course, daily office duties and stuff. One of my favorite jobs I've ever held was probably the front desk manager of a hotel here in Cullman. That job was really neat. I've worked there for just under a year. And honestly, the only reason I left is because they didn't offer benefits. So I was really sad to leave. But that, for me, that job played a lot into my love of people watching, you know, not in the creepy sense, in the writer sense. You know, I got to meet a lot of neat people and made some friends along the way. You know, I mean, working in a hotel, you see people that you're only going to see one time, and then you see people that you see like once a month and stuff. So I got to meet a lot of interesting people, and so that was really neat. Like I said, that's probably one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. But most of the jobs I've had have been some type of office administration work. So that's kind of, I guess that's kind of where my organization comes from, is that's always mm-hmm. been part of my experience.
Yeah.
So hobbies. We know your work now. How about hobbies? Do you collect baseball cards, butterflies?
I wish I could collect butterflies. I love butterflies.
I've heard she's a stalker.
I heard she trains boxers. Oh, no, she makes boxes.
Yes, to both of those.
Well, we know you like photography because we've seen some of your photographs. Very impressive.
Thank you. I do love photography. I guess that's kind of always been a part of me, too, is just – and it's not necessarily people. I mean, I've done that for some friends. I've taken, like, family portraits and stuff. But I really like taking pictures of nature and – like old buildings and abandoned places. That stuff that's really neat to me. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I watch
a lot of videos
on YouTube, the abandoned houses and things like that. And there's some really cool stuff out there.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a road, Highway 79, that runs from here toward Birmingham that's got like 30 or 40 old abandoned buildings. And I mean old and really bad shape, just beautiful potential photography subjects. And I keep thinking, man, someday I'm just going to take a day and just drive down that road and just take pictures of all of these. But in North Alabama, everywhere you go, you see those old abandoned buildings, and you see a fair amount of rusty old trailers that have been abandoned too. And they're very photogenic. They really are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in this part of Alabama, surely you've got something to do with the water, going out on the lake or fishing, boating?
Yes, we actually got a boat maybe, I guess, about 2 years ago. And, you know, I didn't realize it before, but apparently I'm totally a lake girl. I love being out on the water. you know, we do a little bit of, we do fishing, and then we also have, like, the tubes and stuff to pull. So no matter what we're doing, even if we're just riding around the boat, I love it. It's really relaxing. And I can kind of get lost in the nature of it all, being surrounded by the water and the trees and all the fancy houses, of course.
So what's
yeah, one
this,
of the...
Go ahead, Stephen.
I started to say one of the things I like about being out on the lake here too, it's our two lakes are joined because they're part of the Tennessee River. There's just a dam and a lock between them. But one of the things mm-hmm. I like is the longer you stay out there, everything keeps changing. The sky changes, the colors change, the light, you know, the way the lighting comes through the trees and everything. And I can just sit out there and just look at that stuff for hours. It's so beautiful.
Yes, you're exactly right.
So, what's this about boating your way into urgent care? What happened there?
well, we were on the water with some friends. I want to say it was Kelsey. She was actually on the tube, and I was kind of sitting in the front to help, kind of even out the weight of the boat itself. So, of course, Will was hitting waves and everything to try and, you know, toss Kelsey around. and there was a very large cooler on the opposite side of me. And he hit one just right. And somehow that cooler managed to slide up against me. And where my hand was, it smashed my hand between the seat, like the hard piece of the boat between that and the cooler. So, I ended up having to go to urgent care and get an x-ray.
Luckily,
it was not broke. It was not broke.
Right.
but it was a little scary.
usually,
it's always an adventure.
Yeah, usually you go out on the lakes around here and wind up in urgent care. It's a fish hook lodged somewhere where it shouldn't be.
Yes, that can happen too.
I see that a lot. Every time I go to the urgent care clinic down the road here, there's somebody in there with a fish hook somewhere.
Man, the heck you guys doing down there?
So I think it's about time for another commercial here, Beam. What do you think?
All right.
Jacob Radner returns to his suburban Chicago roots to bury his departed father. The family is all there, except for older brother Kevin. 37 years earlier, Kevin Radner walked out the front door and vanished. Will this prodigal son return and finally make peace with the ghost of his mobster father? As the patriarch's body is lowered into the earth, long-hidden family secrets become uncovered. A former girlfriend, a child born out of wedlock and adopted out, a mother willfully blind to the sins of the father. In this novella, author Beam Weeks examines the notion that sometimes those closest to us are the very ones we should fear most. The Thing About Kevin, by Beam Weeks, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, now available in ebooks everywhere.
All right.
I endorse that book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, so I got to get something new out. That came out last year, so I need something new.
Yeah.
It'll be there.
Okay, listeners, we want to remind you, head on over to Twitter and hashtag Fresh Ink Group if you want us to see your comment or your question, or call in at 516-453-9902. And we do have a comment on Twitter right now from Robert Williscroft, a Fresh Ink Group author. He says, I'm not sure I understand how a movie or book can be scary. I laughed when her head turned around in The Exorcist. Yeah, well, that's same with me. We were all like 12, 13 years old, something like that. And we just thought that was a hoot. Scary movies almost never seem scary to me. But I'll tell you, lately, the last few years, it seems movies are really trying to push that envelope for what they show you and how vivid they make it. I just went and saw the movie Promising Young Woman a couple of weeks ago, and there's a murder that happens in there that it was hard to watch. I mean, usually those kinds of things don't move me very much. I kind of analyze them of, oh, what technique are they using here to manipulate the viewer's emotions? But they got me on this one. I was upset by the time that murder was over, and that's kind of hard to do. So I agree with you, Mr. Willis Croft. It's always everybody's different in how they react to those things, and that's one of the challenges in writing, because you don't know what your readers are going to take away from it necessarily.
Well, in my defense for The Exorcist, that came out when I was like 8 years old. So
yeah,
there's that. Okay.
Yeah, eight,
when you're
eight you don't
old,
even necessarily know what a movie is.
Oh, I knew what movies were. I grew up at the old drive-ins.
Well, I'm talking about the unreality of a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it wasn't real, but it was just, okay, that's scary. I remember when I saw Jaws, and I remember all these people kind of looking behind them, these kids looking behind them like the shark's going to be walking up on the land and grab hold of them. And then Saturday Night Live did the sketch of, you know, Candy Graham, and it was the shark in the hallway, and he eats Gilda Radner.
Yeah. So Marlena, is there a particular movie or TV show or something that you found like scarier than the rest or way up there on the list?
Disturbing.
You know, actually the only movie that I can think of that really kind of got to me was this movie Scream. For some reason, I remember when I watched it, when it first came out, which I don't remember how old I was young. And I remember watching it and thinking it's one of those movies that could actually happen. Like it wasn't about some mythological creature, you know, or anything like that. It was something where someone basically snaps. So that kind of terrified me. And for about 2 weeks I had nightmares.
Mm-hmm. Well, they accomplished what they wanted.
Yeah. I remember that movie. I mean, wasn't that the one with Drew Barrymore?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember that one.
But you know, honestly, some of these scary movies that are very popular, I don't get it. I really don't. Like I went and saw Blair Witch Project, and I spent the entire movie thinking, surely at some point this thing is going to get scary or serious or anything less than just stupid. And it didn't. It never did. And I think it was like a week after that, I saw that Cloverleaf, whatever that thing was. And that one was almost as stupid as Blair Witch.
After Blair Witch, I wanted my time refunded.
Yeah, exactly. They call that a found footage film. And it's like, well, they need to lose that footage.
Well, you know, they did it right, though. For like a month leading up to that movie, they advertised the heck out of it made everyone think it was going to be legit. It was real footage, you know. They played it really well on that aspect of it.
It was marketing
but
genius.
The movie was definitely a letdown.
Yeah,
and I'll give them credit in that it was like I think like $17,000 to make the film, and it made over $200 million. So I mean, there's that. Robert Willis Croft had on Twitter, he said, scary is meeting a hungry, humble squid at 1,000 feet. So
I've
there
never
you go.
Done that.
I've been
in a cloud of squid, you know, like 100,000 of them when they come up out of the deep and you're doing a night dive and all of a sudden that's all you can see. But those are the little like 6 to 8 inch ones. I had that happen to me one time with like 10,000 jellyfish, and that was no fun at all. But 1,000 feet, that's Mr. Willis Croft's territory. I was a wreck diver.
Yeah.
130, 140 feet was about my limit.
Okay, so let's get into why we're here. Marlena, what got you into writing, and how long have you been doing this?
Oh, wow. The earliest memory I have is second grade. I don't remember all of it, of course, but I know we were supposed to write a story, and the paper or the little booklet that they made was the shape of a gingerbread man, and I wrote about my mama. And that, I don't even know how or why, but myself along with another student were selected to go to the Young Authors Conference for Alabama, and I remember my mom taking me. And it kind of just started there. I mean, of course, I've had encouragement from the family, all my family, extended family, and many friends over the years and everything. And it's just, I don't know, writing's just always kind of been there. It's always been an outlet for me. And, you know, I've dabbled in poetry. I've done the journal entries and, of course, the fiction writing. I don't even know if y'all remember the old printers where all the paper was, I don't even know what it's called, but the paper was like connected and it had the little perforated thingy. I have a story still that I printed off one of those printers. So that kind of gives you an idea of how long I've been writing.
I'll bet MS-DOS was running that machine.
Yes. So yeah, I guess it's just always kind of been a part of me. And like I said, I've had a lot of encouragement since the young age and everything. So it's just something I've always had a passion for.
It makes a huge difference encouraging kids at that age too, because it becomes a part of their self-esteem and their self-identity. It's like, okay, that's something can do. That's something I'm good at. That's how I'm going to start seeing myself from now on. And doing that with kids is just, it's so important. All kids need to be told they're good at something, you know, and be encouraged to follow that.
Yeah, I remember being, you know, third grade was my teacher in third grade. She was really into teaching us about writing and telling stories. And that's what got me into it, you know, 7, 8 years old and write a short story. And then she reads it and like comes over and talks to me. This is really good. And it's probably, you know, not great. But for that age, you know, I couldn't even tell you what it was other than that it was some cowboy type thing. You know, I was into cowboys and cops and the Bionic Man back then. So
very nice.
Now, I'm grasping for something here. We know that you're also into not just the writing aspect. You're into cover design. So you design book covers. Did you design the book cover for The Intruder?
I did. Well,
that's a cool,
I guess,
cover.
That's kind of how it started. Thank you. I had a friend tell me about the website Canva. So I got on there and started playing around with some cover ideas for the stuff that I was working on. Of course, at that time, it was, like I said, the lovey-dovey stuff. So, you know, I played around with it, and then, like, before I knew it, hours had passed. So I had come up with all these different ideas, and, of course, I don't have that many story ideas. They're not ones that would fit those covers. So I decided, hey, why not help fellow writers and see if they can use one of my covers? Now, on The Intruder, the great thing about Canva is it has so many options of templates and free photos and all this stuff. So part of The Intruder was actually already a template on Canva. I just changed a few of the elements and made it my own, which is a great thing about Canva. Like I said, they have so many free options, and not just for book covers, but everything. But it's a neat little tool. So, yeah. It was very kind of recent, I guess, that I even realized I like doing that. But it's a fun little hobby.
Yeah, and you're showing a lot of talent at it, too. And it's also, your service is very affordable. I noticed over on your website you have some pre-made covers where people just need, you just need to put in their titles and their bylines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's some very nice things there for $25. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's a good deal. Quite a deal. That's an extreme deal. Yeah, because most images, like if you want to use a photo on a book cover, the licensing for the photo alone costs more than $25. So we want to encourage that, Marlena. You're showing a lot of talent at it. You're offering something that a lot of people could use, and you're making it affordable for them. So, gee, you sound like a Fresh Ink Group member there.
Yeah, and the cover for The Intruder, like I said, it's a really cool cover. And the thing about it is, when you're over on Twitter, I mean, it really stands out. There's a starkness to it, and that's always a good thing. It's eye-catching.
Yeah. So let's throw another commercial in here. you know, just to break the continuity, if nothing else. This one is about Princess Lil. We interviewed that author, Nell Cooper, a couple of weeks ago, and during the show, we promised we would make her a trailer, and we did. We did it the very next day, and she's been very happy with it, getting lots of feedback. She says that's very positive, and she's enjoying it. So we're going to listen to just the audio portion of that trailer, but remind our listeners, all of these commercials, you can go over to YouTube and find the actual video that goes with the trailer as well.
Princess Lil is a sad pony. Her little girl grew up and went away. Now Lil is in a scary place with lots of mean ponies. A fun furry farm cat called Taffy and a nice roan horse named Pearly try to help. It even looks like Princess Lil might have a chance to cheer up special needs children too. But she is already too hurt and too sick. Princess Lil is about the differences between loyal friends and those who bully others. It shows the power of caring about ourselves and the people who look out for us. Is it too late for a sad pony in a scary place? The answer just might depend on how much we all love Princess Lil. Grab copies of Princess Lil for all the little girls in your life. Available worldwide in softcover and all ebook editions. Or you can share the audiobook as read by author Nell Cooper. Princess Lil is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, so go out there and grab yourself a copy. We are on live with author Marlena Smith, the author of The Intruder. And if you want to be part of the show, hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter. Say hashtag Fresh Ink Group and whatever your comment or question is, and we'll get to it. Or you can call us at 516-453-9902. 516-453-9902.
Now, Marlena, I mentioned your website a minute ago because I saw some book covers on there. Why don't you tell our listeners what to expect if they go looking for your website or your blog?
Well, I have the title as Scribblings of a Southern Belle, which I feel is quite fitting being from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there are the cover designs on there and everything. My biggest thing is just the blogging and promoting fellow writers and bloggers. I've actually got to meet quite a few amazing people through my blog, you know, with people being guests on there. There's not really much else, I guess. I mean, the main thing is the blog, and then I've got a few pictures of work that I have coming up, a few of the projects I'm working on.
And you have had some guest bloggers on there, like blog tours and things like that as well?
Yeah, that's kind of one of my mission is to help promote other people. I think that's really important as a writer and as a blogger. You know, we're kind of all in this together. So I try and invite people, anybody that wants to come and, you know, put up a post on my blog. And it's not just authors. I mean, I've got some people that they just blog for a living. You know, they blog about their little family or their daughter and everything. So I feel like I'm kind of covered a lot of ground when it comes to the blog guests. There actually is even a tab where people can go to and sign up to be a guest, and it actually sends me an email, so that way we can connect for that.
Great. And listeners, if you want to try to ask Marlena for that opportunity and you're not sure where to find it, you can contact us. There's a contact form on Fresh Ink Group, and we like hooking people up with each other, especially when they're supportive people who are trying to accomplish some positive things.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
And I subscribe to Scribblings of a Southern Belle myself. So, and it's, I can vouch for that. It's a cool. I subscribe to a lot of cool blogs. Just a wide variety of stuff out there. Some really interesting stuff.
For you listeners who aren't that familiar with it, most of these blogs are WordPress blogs. And when you go over there and you see something that you like and you want to learn more or see more from that person, you just kind of go down and hover in the lower right corner, and a little box will pop up that'll say follow. Click that little box, and then you are now following that person. You're supporting that person, and you will get to see future posts as well. And that's definitely worth doing. All of us are always trying to look to increase our followers on our blogs.
Indeed. We do have another caller, so how about we take that before we get into talking about the intruder.
Go.
All right. Hello, caller. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Well, this is Karen Ingalls from
Florida. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Karen's going to be our guest in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you know what? I feel like we're at a family reunion.
All right.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Karen and Marlena know each other.
Together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so good to hear Marlena's voice. And I do follow her blog and everything. And I couldn't be more proud and more happy for you, hon.
I'm so glad you called.
Well, yes. And I'm anxious to read your book. And I do have it. I just haven't read it yet. So I wish you the best, and we'll definitely stay connected, hon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Hmm.
All right. I'm going to hang up so you can share about your book.
Thanks for calling, Karen.
Yes, thank you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so how about we do just that and get into The Intruder.
The Intruder.
The Intruder.
I hear Peter Gabriel in the background.
So,
song The Intruder.
What's it all about?
Well, a little background about it. The story idea, I don't even honestly know where it came from. It was just one of those instances where the idea just pops into your head, I guess. Like I said before, my stories are usually lovey-dovey, even though I'm a total horror nerd. So it did come as a surprise to me. But as soon as the idea hit, I just, you know, penned the paper, and before I knew it, it was done. Of course, it was a short story. I did some editing to it, and I really liked the whole idea of it. So I decided to start the search for an editor. Of course, I know a lot of people in the writing business. I mean, I've got history with a lot of people. But I just wanted something, I guess, in a sense, I wanted someone that was unbiased, where I could get like a completely fresh view of it. I guess, in a sense, I wanted, kind of clarification to make sure I was doing what I needed to be doing, if that even makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
But I kind of also wanted someone that was local. I guess growing up, I always envisioned myself having a coffee with my editor one day. So that whole idea was in my head. You know, I dream big. Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
That's when I, through Googling and researching and stuff, I came across a lady named Rose, who is a very nice lady. She actually gave me the push I needed. She was very encouraging. She liked my story. She edited The Intruder as basically a sample piece because of how short it is. She gave me some great feedback, actually. I made some changes to it and everything. And again, I was so happy with the way the story turned out, I decided to submit it to a magazine. Well, after a couple of rounds, they decided it wasn't quite a fit. I guess it wasn't quite spooky enough for their scary magazine. So then I just kind of sat on the story for a few months before I was like, you know, I want something to happen with it. So I got on Amazon and just did my own thing and finally published it. I liked the story so much and the time that I put into it, and I felt it was kind of a perfect debut for me being the person that I am. So, I wanted people to be able to read it. I didn't even care about what it costs or anything I get from it. I just, the idea of people reading my work was an incredible feeling. And even today, I'm still kind of on cloud nine that I finally published my story.
Well, that's a good feeling.
And we're very proud of you because we've been looking for that for a little while, and we were very happy to see you get there.
And I bought it and read it and reviewed it, and I can tell you I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And I bought it and haven't read it yet, So I'm looking forward to thoroughly enjoying it.
Good deal.
I thought I was going to read it today, but today did not turn out the way I had intended. So I'll get
I
to it
totally
next
understand.
But now, why don't you tell us what it's about?
Yeah.
What's the story?
Well, it's about Serenity. She lives in this kind of perfect little bubble in a safe little town in North Carolina. She lives in a suburb. Her parents are, they have a bad accident and everything, so it's just kind of her, and she wants to get away from everything. And then, like I said, she thinks she lives in this safe little bubble. She's got the perfect life, works from home, doesn't have to deal with anybody. And then one night she wakes up to some strange things on her phone. So the perfect life she thought she was living kind of got flipped upside down.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what she finds on her phone would be enough to scare even a grown man. If you wake up and you pick up your phone and there's certain things on there, it's like, what the heck is this? You know, it's that kind of jarring sense of foreboding. And it's a jarring sense of where you thought you were safe. Maybe you're not quite mm-hmm. as safe as you thought you were.
Yes.
So where and how can we buy this?
It is available on Amazon. With it being such a short read, like I'm talking 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's a quick read.
It's on Amazon. Yes. And I only did it on as an ebook. Because I didn't feel like I didn't want to make people have to pay for such a short read because shipping's ridiculous anyway. But it is available on Amazon, like I said, as an ebook, and you can just type in my name and it pulls right up.
And it's a good price, if I remember right.
99 cents.
99 cents. Yeah. Can't argue with that. Yep.
It's a bargain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Beam highly endorses it, and I expect to be endorsing it myself in the next couple of days. So if you don't have a copy of The Intruder, listeners, get out there and get it. That's Marlena Smith, The Intruder. So, Beam, you want to run one more commercial?
Sure.
Prepare to think as you explore these 19 short stories by author, composer, and producer Stephen Gies. Avoiding any single genre, this collection showcases Gies' storytelling from literary to Southern Gothic to coming of age, allegory, humor, and even fantasy, all finessed to say something about who we are and what we seek. Some of these tales have been passed around for years, others so virgin they have never known the seductive gaze of a reader's eyes. Now, you can go digital, Kindle, Nook, Kobo, iTunes, Google Play, and more, or you can keep it soft with a paperback to whip out in mixed company. Or you can really show off. Be the envy of your crowd with a dust jacket and hardcover. Fresh Ink Group is where it's coming from. Amazon and the rest are where it's at. Just point and click, and you too can feel the electric surge of the latest from Stephen Gies. So when life's currents get to pulling too hard, don't fight it. Just open the book and discover 19 new ways of going with the flow. Because now, more than ever, comes this time to float.
It's 19 excellent stories in that one. I've read that one as well. Marlena, who are some of the authors, and what are some of your favorite books that have kind of shaped you as a writer as you made this journey?
Oh, well, growing up, I read a lot of R.L. Stine's Goosebumps and Ann Martin's Babysitter Club books. I feel like those are kind of a stepping stone in childhood.
R.L. Stine.
Yeah,
he stole a lot of those Goosebumps.
Yeah, I have a nephew that was his favorite when he was growing up, R.L. Stine.
Yeah, well, they're great books. And then, of course, from there, you know, as I got older, I started appreciating more like Jane Austen and Nicholas Sparks. And I love poetry, so like Edgar Allan Poe and Emily Dickinson. And, of course, I can't forget the indie writers. The indie books are definitely a part of my heart over the last probably 10 years. I feel like there are so many good writers and books that are considered indie. And I feel like they don't get the praise they deserve. Of course, both of y'all are included in that. Y'all are both amazing writers.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm trying to think of anything specific book-wise. Of course, Jazz Baby. And then things like the Nicholas Sparks, A Walk to Remember. That is probably the only book I have ever read more than once. I'm one of those, I read it once and I'm done with it. But A Walk to Remember, I did read twice.
I've not read his books, but I've seen some of the movies that have been made from the books.
Most of them are good.
Yeah, I mean, they're not really necessarily my cup of tea, but there's a couple of them that I've enjoyed. I mean, I wouldn't put them in my top 20 movies, but I've enjoyed them. So
what are you reading right now? Or next on your list?
I'm trying to think of what's on my Kindle right now. I don't know. I've connected with so many people, and I have so many of their books on my Kindle right now. One of the people that pops into my head, Joyce Schneider, her book, Embryo, was the first book I ever read that was a medical thriller. I had connected with her on a author website years ago. And, that was the first one I had ever read that was like that. And I wasn't too sure about it, but I ended up loving it. She had a whole series of books for that first book, and I read all of them. So I know another series of hers is actually next on my list. I have been reading Strange Highway. I've got a little bit left in it. And then I
hear that's
it.
A pretty good one.
maybe.
I like it. I like the cover too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what do you like in music? Do you listen to music? Because I'm a music fanatic. I love music as much as I love reading and writing.
I do love music. Music is another one of those things that helps me relax. And I'm kind of all over the board on music. I love classical and jazz. But then I'm totally okay with a little bit of pop and country. And even some of the music today that I don't even know what kind of genre it is, because it's just its own thing.
There's a lot of that out there.
Yeah, music has changed drastically.
It has.
But yeah, there's not a lot of music I don't like. As long as I can understand the words typically, I like it.
Do you like the music group Alabama?
I do. I'm a little partial to them.
Okay. Well, you know, we published their drummer Mark Herndon's memoir called The
Yes,
High Road.
Yes, I know that. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah,
he's going to be on the show before too long.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, probably about three or four weeks from now, we're going to have him and country music star Leah Seawright, who is married to Mark Herndon now. But they live right now up in DeKalb County, which is about an hour from where I am, but they're building a house overlooking Tennessee River. They're going to be about 20 minutes away from me. And
very nice.
We mentioned some years ago that we were going to have them to the house here for a fish fry. And every time I talk to them, they say, we're still looking for that fish fry. So maybe we need to get Marlena and Will and a couple other people out here and have a fish fry. And you can meet some people from Alabama and Leah Seawright.
Definitely.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Okay, so we are about out of time. Marlena, how can people find you on social media?
The two main things I'm on is Twitter and Instagram. You can find me by looking up the username Writer M. Smith. And, of course, there's my website. Again, that's scribblingsofasouthernbelle.wordpress.com. You can connect with me on any of those things.
And The Intruder is available at Amazon. So get out there and pick up a copy, everybody.
Everybody, yeah. Now, for next week's show, our guest is going to be GM Lupo. He is an Atlanta-based playwright, author, blogger, and a very impressive photographer. He goes around all over Georgia and photographs very quirky things, odd buildings, old paintings on the side of brick walls, whatever. It might be a rusty water tower, and he puts those out to people who subscribe to his blog, get to look at those pictures and comment on them or like them, whatever. But I'm reading his short story collection right now, which is new, and really looking forward to having him on the show. And then Beam, 2 weeks after that, or the week after
yeah.
that.
And I just want to say about GM Lupo, about his photos, I subscribe to his blog as well, and awesome, fantastic captures on there. So you want to check that out. Tune in next week. And in 2 weeks, you heard her call in. Karen Ingalls will be on with us. Karen is a cancer survivor, and she wrote a memoir called Outshine. And but she's also a writer, and she wrote a few novels. So she will be on here talking about her whole life experience. And she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. And I've had the privilege of having her on my old show, and I interviewed her. And a little aside to that, I had a problem with my internet on that show. And with like the last 2 minutes of that program, I lost my internet connection, and poor Karen was left on the air saying, hello, Beam. Hello. So
poor
that's
Karen.
Not going to happen this time again, because we got the co-host here. He's over there. So if anything like that happened on my end, he can pick it up. So
yeah, that anyways, explains the title of her new book too. Hello, Beam.
Yeah.
No, but you mentioned Karen does have 4 books out, but she's also putting the finishing touches right now on another book, which is in pre-production at Fresh Ink Group. We're going to be putting that book out for. And it's a friend of hers in Florida started a program for helping autistic children. And she started with just a couple. I think it was 3 was in her first group. And she has built this up and grown it over the years, gotten a facility, hired staff, and has grown this into a wonderful, wonderful program helping many, many kids. And the story of that is the book that Karen is writing right now. And unfortunately, the woman who started all of this is having setbacks with her cancer fight, and very discouraging, some of the news that she's been getting lately. So we're really hustling to try to get this book together and put this out, do something with it while there's still a lot of time for everybody involved.
Yeah. So you want to tell them where they can find the archives?
Well, we've been saying it. We'll say it again at freshinkgroup.com. Hit the podcast tab or go to YouTube and search Fresh Ink Group. It'll take you to the Fresh Ink Group channel where we have all of these podcasts, plus some training videos, a few other things, and approximately 60 book trailers now. You can just sit and watch book trailers for a while. And make sure you subscribe when you get there. Also, StephenGees.com and BeamWeeks.com, each of our author websites have these podcasts. But there's another place now.
And now we are even on Spotify. So if you have a Spotify account, you like to listen to the music, once in a while you want to drop in and hear what's being talked about in the writing world or the music world on a podcast, up on Spotify, Voice of Indie.
Yep. Now, thanks again to Marlena Smith, our guest today. Mar, it was fun talking to you, like old times almost.
I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. Thank you guys so much for having me on tonight.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. It's always good to kind of come on here and reminisce with old friends. So thank you for joining us.
Definitely.
And make cookout plans. So we'll have to get that together too.
All right. We will talk to you all next week. As Stephen said, GM Lupo. So be sure to tune in.
Thanks. And bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com. And be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.